The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 179. I'm your host, Tony Polanco. I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
And I am back. Throw down your questions. Let's get these questions thrown down.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo.
Brian Manjoma.
Motherfucker, Carlos, man, you stole my intro.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up again?
And the return, you know, some of my returns, Mr. Adam Vale is back from doing a 50-hour long fucking WrestleCast, man.
What's up, brother? It's a marathon cast. Never stops. It's probably still going on backstage. I don't know. People still talking shit.
So, yeah, like I was saying before, so, again, you were supposed to be on the stream that we had done on Friday. When we started it, we're already doing that shit for 2 hours. We finished 2.5 hours later, and you motherfuckers were still going at it.
Still going, man. It's long, and I don't know. We got to figure something out, a good way to clean it up. But it's just there's so much to talk about. So even when we're like, all right, we have a set guidelines, and it just goes on and on and on. So I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, and who's that one dude you guys have on? Like, my man was giving shout-outs for 10 hours, man. Shit. God. Who are you shouting out?
Which guy?
That one dude you got on the show. I don't know him. Like, I know everybody on the show, but there's one dude.
Oh, I think Ricky? Is it Ricky? I don't know if I'm giving a shout. Ricky went to Mania, though. Ricky, that was... Oh, yeah.
He was wearing the WrestleMania hat.
Ricky went to WrestleMania, and he gave shout-outs to the people that he sat next to, and it was a family and some other people, because he went to almost all the shows. You know, so he went to NXT TakeOver, and then after that, he went to the WrestleMania. WrestleMania was a 7-hour show.
Damn.
So he sat there from like 3 o'clock on. That was crazy.
Was there anything good in all that?
Yeah, I mean, there was some good moments, historic moments. I mean, Ronda Rousey really performing, showing that she could do that transition from MMA to, you know, choreographed fighting, and just meshed it well, and it worked out. That was a good match.
Hold the phone. Is G Mega Force 123 actually watching us live? Oh shit, what's going on, brother?
Yo, yo.
I hate to tell you this, but you already got your two questions for the week, so you may want to save that one for next week, brother. You know? Dip, top, doopity, we got you, brother. We got you. Don't worry about it, man. But yeah, Adam, man, I'm glad we're back. We finally have the full squad back.
There we go.
You know?
Flip mode squad, yo.
Flip mode squad, man. Flip
mode's the greatest.
And I'm digging that AVI you got on now, man. That shit is crazy.
There
you know?
We go.
I like that. I like that, man. All right, so let's get to answering some of these questions, man. So speaking about G Bank Force 123, he is first up. Actually, hold on, let me back up first. I got to give some shout outs, man. I almost forgot. All right, first of all, I got to give a shout out to the RGT, the Real Gamer Talk podcast. I was on their joint on Friday right before we streamed. We're talking about PlayStation and God of War and all that. Very cool dudes, you know. Also want to give a shout out to the Co-op podcast. I was on theirs talking about God of War earlier today. You know, a lot of fun. People want to, you know, want me on their podcast because I've played the game. It's hilarious. And also, huge shout out to our boy Cicero Holmes, who made that surprise appearance on Thursday.
Man.
That was fun, you know. And, you know, also shout out to Cicero for the real talk we had afterwards. You know, we can't talk about that shit on air, but Cicero, cool dude. Looking forward to seeing him again at E3, man. Should be good. All right. Now, we shall get into these questions. GMegaForce 123, ask. Okay, he goes, I don't get why people dismiss games because of their ESRB rating. I've met people who never play games under T for teen and dismiss all others as quote-unquote kiddie games that are quote-unquote beneath their mature taste. I don't get it. There can still be a game with great gameplay, a great story, great atmosphere / presentation / graphics, and a great soundtrack that is rated E. It stands for everyone, does it not? Again, yo, my man, and I'm glad you're here, too, for life. Like, I'm always fascinated by your friends because they have some interesting opinions. I don't know anyone like that. Like, okay, I can understand someone saying that, but I personally don't know anyone that says that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the question. How old are you and your friends, G Megaforce?
Ooh, when he's here, he can answer that. Yeah, I've never, like, again, I could kind of see someone saying that, but I've personally never heard anyone say that.
I find that becomes part of the equation with a lot of younger people.
Yeah.
You know, essentially, people in their teens and their early 20s, where it's like, man, I don't want to play this kid stuff. I want to play blood and gore. I want to be all, you know, like that sort of stuff. I think that's also something that used to happen back when we were younger too.
But the thing is, when we were younger, the ESRB just started.
They had just started, but I mean, it's like the parent, it's like the parental advisory that's on the fucking heavy metal and rap albums back in the day. That alone used to sell shit.
He says he's 26, so I think I know where you're coming from now. That makes a little bit more sense, and I'm guessing your friends are also around that age.
I don't want to say that I'm that way, but what I will say is I'm more intrigued by games the higher the rating gets. Not necessarily alone by that, but you know, like generally,
we're talking, we're talking about the actual rating that, like, you know, rated R, like as opposed to watching.
I'm saying the same thing. Like, so it's not that I won't play an E-rated game.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself though, like, if you know, like when I saw Sea of Thieves for the first time, like I was happy to find out that there was, you know, there was swords, there was shooting, there was drinking. And that kind of gave it a T rating, like, okay, like that makes me feel a little bit better. Maybe it's, you know, there's a little bit more in there for everyone. So, and when you give me a mature game, I'm like, fuck yeah, there's gonna be blood, guts, swearing, maybe boobies. All right, let's do this. Like, so I can say I come at it from the other end where the more adult a game is rated, you have a little bit more of my interest. So I guess by that line of thought, I'm a little less interested when it's an E-rated game, but that doesn't mean that I won't look at it objectively. I guess it depends on the context. Like, if it's something like Okami, like, of course that's going to be rated E. There's no reason for it not to be, and that's an awesome game.
But I also feel like that also that game that doesn't just certain games, obviously, when, you know, when people think of E-games, they think of, like, kids' games where they're just kind of placating to a certain type of, you know, to children. But it, a lot of times, you know, what happens is, you know, some of these companies are not really aiming for anything. They're just aiming for, you know, just it just so happens that this game doesn't have any cursing and blood in it. They didn't purposely, you know, they didn't purposely say, oh, yeah, this needs to not have a blood and gore so that we can get more people. I mean, like a good this is not an E game, but Uncharted is a T for teen game. But you wouldn't think that. I mean, with the way
there's a difference between T for teen and E for everybody. Like, and that's where I make the distinction. Like, it doesn't have to be rated M, but like a lot of the rated E games, I'm even looking up right now, like Lego Marvel Super Heroes, Knack, Skylanders,
Cuphead,
Daddy Squad. Is Cuphead?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Doki Doki Universe, Octodad, Rhyme is pretty good. Just E games are generally not as often good. They're not always like, you know, I really enjoy Little Big Planet, but you know, if we're counting percentages, like the percentage of E games that are going to appeal to you as an adult gamer are much lower than the percentage of teen games that are going to appeal to you. And I think that gap is going to be quite a bit bigger than the difference between T and rated M games. Like, you don't need your game to be rated M. T is a nice middle of the road thing, but
T is PG-13.
But let's be honest, most big AAA games are rated M anyway. There are very few games that are actually rated T, like AAA games and stuff. They're actually rated T and stuff.
That's kind of my point. It's hard to need to have an E rating. Like, to get an E rating, like, you have to have only cartoony violence and, like,
basic. No, you don't. I mean, most car games are rated E for everyone. Gran Turismo 5 is. Gran Turismo games are rated E. All sport games are rated E.
Okay, well, I guess maybe I should have said it. You can't have violence other than very cartoony violence, and you're not allowed to have suggestive themes. So, yeah, there are things that just so happen to fall into E rating categories that, yeah, like, they're perfectly fine. Like driving games, for instance. If you're telling me like this is an intense narrative driven game that's rated E for everybody, you can't tell me that you're not going to be like, did you water this down at all?
Epic Mickey was also was E for everyone. That was kind of dark.
Yeah. By the way, this is a comment G Megaforce said, and this is the New York guys. Kind of. This is more for the New York guys. He goes, since I live close to Flushing, most of my friends are of Asian descent. So if you see a weird question, blame them. Okay.
All right.
Very interesting. What's going on, Reggie? But yeah, personally, I don't really know anybody like that. You know, people
Yeah, I've never let the E for everyone a moniker stand in the way of
never been a factor.
Yeah, stand in the way of the things that I wanted to play. I mean, you know, I can't remember any games right now that are E. But
is that Mario game? The new Mario game, is that one E?
Yeah, that's E.
Yeah.
That's E. So
but the thing is, since a lot of us grew up without these ratings, they really don't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never looked at the rating and said, "Oh, I don't know about this." The only time whoa!
I call bullshit.
Oh, okay. What's the bullshit?
Which is the superior version of Mortal Kombat?
The arcade version.
The arcade version.
The one with the blood or the one without the blood?
I didn't buy any of those fucking versions because they were both pieces of shit.
but also we were of age where that wasn't an issue for us when
it wasn't an issue. I bought it on an ID card.
We didn't have to.
We didn't care. The thing is, by the way, just to answer your question, which was the superior one, I went for the Super Nintendo one because that looked more like the arcade. It didn't have the blood, but it looked more like it. And I could have bought the Genesis one. I had both of them, but I'm like, Genesis one looked fucking bad. It looked horrible. You know,
nasty. I didn't care for either one of them.
Remember the video game trials? The stuff started by what's his name?
Lieberman.
Lieberman, Joe Lieberman, when he brought it up. It was called the Mortal Kombat Trials for a reason. We didn't know that.
Damn, I've heard Mortal that Kombat in a doesn't long fall. Time.
Doesn't yeah, he fall. Ran for president too.
Yeah.
Yeah, by Lieberman the way, and Zelda, Jack Thompson and shit.
All the Zelda games are E.
Yeah.
All the Zelda games are E.
You can't have a good rated E game. I'm just saying it's more difficult to.
No, I don't think it's that difficult. For certain times, if you're aiming for, I think you literally need to aim for an M.
Okay,
I don't think I think
that doesn't make any sense though. Like objectively speaking, it is easier to cook in a kitchen full of no. It is
we're getting way off track right now. You know that.
Yeah, let me make this point.
You're essentially arguing that no E for everyone games can be anything more than cartoon violence, which I think is untrue.
That is literally. E for everyone. Generally, content is generally suitable for all ages, may contain minimal cartoon fantasy or mild violence and or infrequent use of mild language. That is the literal definition of what you need, the most you can do to have a rated E rating.
Which every single sports game kind of negates that. Because that's they're not doing cartoon violence when two people smash into each other in a Madden game and also get an injury, that is not cartoon violence.
Yeah, no, that's they don't consider that violence. Period. For some reason, the same way they don't consider violence when you smash a car. But my whole point is,
you can literally get into a car accident and have two football players essentially giving themselves concussions. Nah, that's cool.
As long as it's not violence done by one being against another living being, it just seems to not fucking matter. Like the only point what I was making was that, you know, if you have a full kitchen stocked full of ingredients where you can choose everything, you know, you can choose dark stuff, you can choose adult stuff, you can choose childish stuff, you have more of a chance to make a good meal than if you're working in a bachelor's kitchen that has five fucking ingredients. Sure, you can make a really good meal and something that's very satisfying out of five ingredients. Is it easier to make something out of five ingredients? No. So that's why I'm saying it's harder to make a game rated E for everybody that everybody can like. It's still doable, and it's still done quite a bit, sometimes on purpose, sometimes on accident. But generally speaking, E is a bit of a restrictive rating. That's all.
All right. Again, a little bit off topic, but that's fine. All right, let's move on, man. Next question here. When do you see consoles moving to ARM64? With smartphones, IoT, Switch, AR, and VR HMDs, and now PCs moving towards ARM with Windows 10 ARM64 and now Apple moving towards ARM in 2020, what are the chances of consoles moving to ARM64? I won't be surprised if Microsoft moves towards ARM64 in the future. Their Xbox OS is based in VMs, so they can move to different architecture much more easily compared to Sony. I don't know what the fuck I just read, so I'm going to leave this to the tech guys.
I have very strong opinions on this, but I'm going to courteously let Chris jump ahead and explain it to the rest of you.
Can you just point
out that I love it when Tony reads tech questions? Because it's really funny. Sorry, Tony. Like, I love you lots, but when you read tech, it's just like the best things ever.
Yeah, because I don't know what the fuck I'm reading. That's why. I'm like, what the fuck am I reading? I was like, is it ARM or ARM? So I'm like, let me just say ARM. And let me just say every letter and everything just to play it safe, because I could have said IOT or ARM. I don't know what the fuck I just read. You know? Anyway, go on.
Well, I don't see Microsoft moving towards it, because PC gaming is still heavily based in x86 architecture, right? So and all the games we have right now, this whole library and this iterative, the two iterative generations, probably the next one is going to be all x86 based. So you are, I don't think you're going to see a push for ARM from Microsoft or Sony unless the cost cutting is significant. Like, if they can trim like millions off the R&D manufacturing or whatever and still get the same quality, then yeah. But right now what ARM is providing is not up to par with what we have now on the system. Like, if you're comparing Switch to Xbox One X or a PS4 Pro, you tell me which one is better, right? Smartphone, like, same
thing. Switch, come on.
You know, in terms of AR and VR, they are so expensive out the gate because of what they have to do that they have no choice. But they can't pair it with an SoC from AMD, and certainly not Intel. You'd go broke, right? So they can't do that. So they're forced into that AR market because of cost, right? Microsoft doesn't have that limitation, and neither does Sony. And the product they're presenting now, especially in terms, if you look at Sony and PS4 sales, and you can look forward to those charts, they are selling extremely well with the architecture they're using. So they have no change in one or two generations, even moving away from x86 AMD contracts, unless AR makes some huge leap that and keeps the cost down. That's the only way. But I don't see it.
Yeah, especially since they're kind of doing a big push on backwards compatibility.
Yeah,
that'll hurt it a lot, especially since x86 is 32-bit architecture. Yeah, so I don't have anything else other than what Chris had to add.
But Brett, does it run on transistors?
Yeah, Brett, didn't you say you wanted to say something?
No, I have a complete and total understanding of everything that was just said, and I just agree with Chris.
Right.
Like, yeah, whatever Chris said, I'm going with that.
How convincing was that?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it's about cost, you Megaforce. Like, I always think, like, when you think of those things, don't think in terms of tech, which ARM is not there yet anyway, but think of cost too. These are businesses, right? You want the most return on investment. Like, moving to ARM now would be stupid, because the cost of trying to transition their old library now to it would be ridiculous. Like, they would never do it. They would shoot themselves completely. You would derail the momentum that PS4 have if PS5 all of a sudden went to ARM64. Like, it would be ridiculous.
Well, Chris, now let me ask you in all seriousness, because I'm one of those here that is a bit unindoctrinated. Now, the ARM architecture is different from the x86 architecture. It was created after x86, but it's not as powerful or versatile as x86. Is that correct?
Yeah, okay. So there's two philosophies with CPU instructions, right? You have a complex instruction set architecture, which is what Intel and x86 and AMD are producing. Mm-hmm. And then you have ARM and like the old Sun chips, all this stuff is a reduced instruction set, right? So in an Intel chip, if I want to, let's say if I had one instruction that I want the factorial of a number, they have a register that handles it, right? I just call one. So when I compile something, it just There's an instruction in the chip that does that. But on an ARM system, you don't have that. What I have to do is use a multiply and subtract register and calculate that on the pipeline to get the same result, right?
ALU.
So that's the right. Exactly. So in that reduced instruction set, it's like, well, this basic math gives you everything you need to do anything you want, right? And Intel's philosophy is like, no, we'll just put the things in there. Like, you want square roots, you want to do calculus, we'll throw that in there, you know? So that's the philosophy difference. And then so the difference is like, then Intel chips get really complicated. They need to keep doing die research and shrink it, more transistors on there and all this shit. So, and pipelines and read aheads and all this stuff they have to figure out to speed it up, while ARM doesn't have to do that stuff. And then, and the cost of that, when you keep packing on things and instructions, you create heat, which is the main problem with all CPUs and stuff. It's like, how fast can I get this thing so it doesn't melt, right? And cool it sufficiently and all this stuff as a voltage and all this shit you have to think about. So that's the problem those two face. And so ARM doesn't have that problem. It can run cooler. It doesn't need much. It can be in smaller devices and just use heat pipe. It doesn't need giant fans or water cooling or whatever. Like if you have a gaming PC that's cranked up and you overclock it, then it's like, well, I better put some liquid nitrogen in here and keep this thing down. You know, so those are different problems. But because the Intel architecture is more robust, you could do way more with it, right? And then AMD produces their own chips actually at a lower cost than Intel, which is why Sony and Microsoft go to them for their SoCs and they don't go to Intel. And AMD license the x86 from Intel, pay them a licensing fee or whatever, but they're able to produce their stuff cheaper. And that's
what it has swung back against Intel in the last 5 years, it feels like.
By the way, SAR is great, who just gave us a super chat, says that PS4, PS4 Pro has ARM chips inside, background stuff. Is that true?
I mean, is it the audio processor or something?
He says it's background stuff.
Yeah, whatever that means. I think it was for OS stuff that it uses, but it's really specific. It's not like sort of like a general purpose kind of thing where it does a lot of the processing, a lot of the heavy lifting. It's just used for specific tasks. But yeah, it does. If I remember whenever we went over the like PS4 stuff, I did remember seeing that it had an ARM processor.
So, I mean, it does make sense that it would have something lightweight like that to handle the OS, because you don't want, you want the OS to be kind of snappy, right?
Well, not just snappy. You don't want the OS to take away cycles from the game.
From the actual game. Yeah.
So you need to offload it somewhere.
So yeah, maybe that's all, you know, like it handles the pop the OS and also the additional stuff like the slide menus and all that, all those things so that it doesn't disturb the main processing power, which is devoted to the.
Yeah, and this is really common. Like there's specific chipsets just for audio and stuff like that too. So
yeah.
The less stress you can give your main CPU, the better, you know?
Yeah, mighty nerd, man. We love you, brother, but they are not bringing back the cell processor, bro. Come on.
Why would you want to, is my question.
Cell?
Yeah, he said, remember, he brought this up a couple weeks ago. He's like, they can make it easy to program for a cell. Why?
Well, I mean,
program for the cell, could they? That thing was notoriously a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's like, dude, they got x86. They want backwards compatibility. They're not going back to any fucking cell processor.
I mean, to be honest, like, you know, yeah, they wouldn't go into something like that. Having an all-in-one sort of chip like that is not. It's not. I could see the reasoning behind it, where they wanted they split the processor into different parts to kind of handle the different things. But yeah, I couldn't see them doing something like that, especially with the way things are nowadays.
And who's making PowerPC chips?
I think
you brought that up.
I think IBM stopped using them in their servers.
No, they were producing them.
Yeah, they were.
They turned all that stuff over. But the first guys to jump ship was Apple. Remember, all of Mac and all the stuff was PowerPC. They jumped ship. Why? Because of heat. Then we had the 360 and PS3 come in. both of them had overheating. Xbox 360 was notorious, right? Power PCs have horrible heat problems, and they cannot run at high speeds and without like fucking melting down. So they were an awful solution, and everybody jumped off of that. Nobody's going back.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on to the next question here from Mr. Black Metal Gamer. This I hate these type of questions. I'm just being honest. I don't like these type of questions. You know, the one has to go shit. But, you know, which one of these has to go? Mass Effect, Metroid, or Dead Space?
There hasn't been a Metroid game in a while.
Yeah, there has. Well, I played one last year. One.
That was pretty good.
Oh, that remade Metroid 2, yeah.
Oh, no, no. Fun. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I thought you meant big boy Metroid games.
Oh.
remakes of really good Metroid games. No, what was it, Mass Effect?
Mass Effect, Dead Space, or Metroid. Which one of these has to go?
I always see the thing that's like, why? Because I always base these sorts of things on what we haven't seen in a while and what needs a break. I would say Mass Effect.
Yeah, bring back Dead Space.
I'm
just gonna jump in now. Yeah, Mass Effect. You're done. You're done. You're done. You're done. I love Mass Effect.
Are we serious here?
Yeah, I'm dead. Did you play Andromeda? Get that shit out of here. You know?
No, I didn't play Andromeda. But are we all forgetting the clusterfuck that was Dead Space 3?
That wasn't a clusterfuck. I'd rather play Dead Space 3 than Andromeda. Yeah, Dead Space 3 was like, I don't know why people hate on that game. The game was good. You know,
it wasn't bad.
To be honest, you can get rid of Dead Space and Mass Effect. For all I'm concerned.
Oh shit! Keep it real.
One thing we also need to I noticed that they're both EA games that we're talking about there now. Oh, too.
Yeah, two yeah. EA well, games I and mean, Nintendo. Yeah.
Do we even need to like even have this question? Dead Space is dead, literally dead. Visceral is gone, and the guys were gone before that.
Yeah. And never mind. And, real life answer the question for us then.
And Andromeda was the adamantium bullet that put down the series.
So. Mass Effect is in cryo sleep right now.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, just how Andromeda started.
Yeah.
So all you got is Metroid, man. Like it answers itself.
Okay, yeah, never mind. There's your answer. Metroid is the one that wins. The other two die. Yeah. EA, man. Barry Burton says EA is the one that needs to go.
Agreed.
The thing with Mass Effect is I know at least three of, I know Chris and Tony and myself. I don't know of anyone else. Like, that was our favorite franchise.
Hell yeah, from last gen?
Yeah, so.
I enjoyed it. It was fun.
So
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so like we either enjoyed it or it was like either our favorite or one of our favorite franchises. Now with Andromeda, it's like, please don't release anything else. We don't want to dilute our fucking memories of Mass Effect anymore. So it's like.
I feel like people are already pissed off about the first transgression with 3. You know, I go on the record saying multiple times I had no problems with the original ending.
Me neither.
Because I felt like the journey to that thing was pretty damn awesome.
Yeah.
All the stuff that you did before that, the shit with the Geth, all that. I thought all that stuff was really cool. Even the DLC was awesome for that thing. Just that one thing at the end.
The colors.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, people who didn't mind the ending are more like, I call them journey people, right? I'm destination. It's like, yeah, that destination, that journey was fucking great. But that destination was so fucking bad. It not only ruined that game, but it kind of ruined the ones before it. Because it's like, what's the point of all of this shit if it just leads to 3 fucking colors? You know, so ruined the franchise for me.
But this is just a personal thing. I knew from the beginning you couldn't. What could be the ultimate ending to a game?
The DLC that came out months later. If that was the original shit, nobody would complain. I was happy with that.
Yeah, where they had those two little things. I mean, then there's also the talk about the alternate, about that other story that they had going on that sounded way better than whatever the hell they decided to do at the end. Yeah,
even though it was a ripoff of a Star Trek plot line. You know, Mass Effect was destroying the universe.
Destroying the universe.
We kind of had that in Star Trek, but again, the ending that they gave us months later was really good. If that was the original ending, it would have been fine, you know? But I remember I felt that way. I was like, they just ruined the entire franchise. That extra ending saved the franchise for me. Like, okay, good. They redeemed it. Good. you know? Because I'm sorry, like that one moment, I know it only lasted like 5 minutes, but it ruined the entire thing because it's like the whole point is to get to this point, you know?
Yeah, but didn't they add that whole questionnaire thing to the ending too, where the kid talks to you a bit more?
The Star Child?
Yeah, didn't he have like...
I think he talks more, yeah, but they just added so much to that ending that like, yeah, if this was the original, nobody would have complained, you know? It was a that DLC was a really good send-off.
Yeah, because that third game was supposed to be like the culmination of all the choices you made for the first two games.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wonder what the payoff is going to be.
Yeah, the payoff is literally you destroy everything in the universe, because if you destroy every Mass Effect relay, if you blow them up, you blow up whatever star system they're in. That was established in the canon, you know, so they didn't even pay attention to their own shit.
I feel like that ending might have been the quick and dirty ending because of the fact that they probably couldn't do the actual thing that they wanted to do.
Well, here's what I found out about the ending, right? Okay, that entire game was written by committee, right? So, you know, if you have something written by committee, people are like, no, this will work. And it was very fan servicey, right? That ending was written by Casey Hudson himself with nobody else coming in. So I think that's what happened. He didn't have anybody going, yo, that's fucked up. Don't do that. You know? And then, of course, the alternate, you know, the revised ending is the committee one, you know, where they gave the fans what they wanted, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I just felt like that they just kind of lost the part of that I think a lot of people enjoyed, where you never got to say goodbye to your buddies at the end, you know?
Yeah, you got to give people what they want, man. All right, moving on here. Okay, what are some of your disappointing games of this current generation? This should be a good one. I'll go first. For some reason, I had a little bit of a hard time thinking up some of them, even though I know they exist. I'm thinking about just like, oh my God, what the fuck did they do? Mass Effect Andromeda, going back to that. No Man's Sky and Prey. Those are my three. I know there's probably more. You guys are probably going to name them, but those are the ones that come to the top of my head. You know, I would toss in the Zelda game, but I've never really cared about Zelda, so I wasn't really disappointed. It's just like, eh, this game is not as good as people are saying. So, but I wasn't disappointed because I wasn't looking forward to it. You know what I mean? Anyway, Manny, disappointing games this generation.
Disappointing games this generation. That's a difficult one. I usually have pretty good spider sense when it comes to a game that's gonna kind of let me down. The only time that didn't happen was with Lords of Shadow.
Oh man, yeah.
But
bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, so far, I mean, I've been happy with the titles that I've gotten. Like, I got that spider sense when I saw friggin' Mass Effect, you know. And I got it, and a couple of other ones are just, I just kind of knew that I'm like, this is not for me. So I think I've been pretty lucky, but you know, who knows? Maybe this year I'll buy a fucking stinker. maybe I'll hate God of War or Spider-Man.
All right, Chris.
Let's see. I agree with you on Mass Effect for sure. Mass Effect Andromeda is freaking terrible. I would say disappointed for a different reason, not because it was bad, but because what they did with it was Shadow of War. I love Shadow of Mordor, and they fucking ruined it, man. Bullshit.
Oh well, you can go back. They did it. They got rid of all the microtransactions in it.
And the pattern
still is gone. Grind. I know a lot of people that loved it, and who said toward the end they were like, "Show, all I have to do is now is just keep grinding. Like it's forcing you to grind.
Yeah,
like you have to do it unless you want to spend actual money."
That's the only thing I can add to Mass Effect and No Man's Sky, which I was like, I gave that game every chance in the world. And it's
Both did. I put like 60 hours into that shit, but yeah. All right,
you the chance,
Carlos, man.
So, along with the ones that you guys mentioned, which were disappointments to me too, the one that disappointed me almost as much as Mass Effect did was fucking the Master Chief Collection.
That shit
was so bad, man. When it released,
it's still bad. They're still working on it.
Yeah, they're still working on that shit, man. I remember I asked. So I was like the biggest fucking Halo fan back in the day, and I was so excited to get back and play Halo 2 with my friends online again. I'm like, yo, man, we're about to do this. I fucking asked for a week off from work. So I'm like, I'm about to play all fucking day, you know? And it's like the original source code too. So like probably some of the gold glitches we'd be able to like hit, like super jumps and, you know, like the dummy glitch and stuff like that. So the release date, I got the game. I couldn't get a match. It wasn't, I couldn't get a match that day. I couldn't get a match the next day. I couldn't get a match the day after, the week after, the month after. That shit was fucking horrible. I couldn't fucking get a match.
Can you get a match now? Even Carlos can get one now, son.
Yeah. Man, I haven't even tried. I gave up on that game after a fucking like a couple of weeks.
Was it? I beat Halo 4 part of that series, me and some other buddies, and me and one other guy didn't get half the trophies in that shit. Well, the Chivos in it. And we played with everybody. We could not understand why.
What's your point, Carlos?
No, I got another one.
Okay, go ahead.
Destiny.
Oh,
if you think about it, that's one of the biggest ones because there was so much. Like the hype has died down because we have the fucking Overwatch and these fucking arena games. But Destiny was supposed to be the next. It was the next big thing for like a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And there was so much hype because it's fucking Bungie right after they left Microsoft and they're about to do a fucking huge ass. I don't know what the fuck the budget was. It was freaking huge.
Yeah, it was like half a billion. I'm not exaggerating with that number.
Yeah, and it's like this game is going to last you years.
By the way, Carlos, can we toss Destiny 2 into that one too?
Yeah, might as well, man.
May as well. Just toss Destiny, the franchise in general, you know? By the way, quickly, Manny, I can't believe we forgot this one. Metal Gear Survive.
Oh, is that really a disappointment? Because I never bought it.
Did we have expectations?
Yeah, was there any sort of expectation?
Yeah, it is true, but you know,
I mean, it's like, if you see a dumpster fire sitting in the corner, and it's like, yep, that's a dumpster fire sitting over there. That's about what it is.
You said this is a Tonyism. You said that game's gonna be hot doo doo trash, and
it was.
We do like so. Ain't disappointing.
Here's the thing. Maybe somehow they figured that they were gonna do something of that, but it's such a. I feel like in a lot of ways it goes against everything that is of the Metal Gear fan. You know, that Metal Gear fans would like and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Metal Gear fans like good games, you know.
And that's not to say, though, there are people that do enjoy the game. But I think that those are the folks that a lot of those folks, I think, are people who do not really care for the Metal Gear story, which that actually does exist.
Yeah, my boy AJ loves the game. You know, because he's hated the other ones.
Because a lot of people do not like the anti-war messages that Kojima puts into the game, obviously. And there's also a lot of the kooky Japanese-isms, they don't like that, but a lot of them like the controls and the gameplay and wish there was more of that. So Metal Gear Survive is kind of that, which I still don't understand, like, that it's such an un-Metal Gear-ish game. It's not even really funny, but the game controls well, and that's all I can really say about that.
Yeah. Latouf says Star Wars Battlefront. I know a lot of people are disappointed by that. Both of them.
Yeah. I'm not a Battlefront sort of gamer. But I never. I mean, what was there to expect from a multiplayer shooty Star Wars game? You're gonna have this tour de force something? Nah, not really.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Brian, get in here, man. Disappointing games of this generation, Mr. Brian.
He's not disappointed. He's playing Warframe.
Yeah, he's playing. Yeah, he's like, fuck this generation. I got Warframe.
God of War for Brian, man.
Yeah. All right. We'll skip Brian for now and go to Brett.
I was disappointed in Horizon.
Yeah, I knew it.
There you go.
Wow, well, I'm consistent.
No, that makes sense. You know, it's not like you changed your mind.
That was the only one that really caught me off guard because I really thought I was gonna like it. There was no real reason for me not to. I just didn't like how the pieces fit together. So, yeah. Everything else, I'm kind of like Manny. Like, I generally have a pretty good idea on the radar of like, I'm either gonna like this game or I'm not.
You kind of get that. I don't know what it is. It's like that you get this is one feeling that I get when it, I'm sure it happens with you too. It's like I don't know. Something seems off about this.
I'm also hesitant. Like I sit on games anyway. Like I picked up Far Cry 5 like a week and a half after it came out, after I had heard good things and knew a bunch of my friends were playing. I was like, all right, you know, I'll pick up Far Cry. Otherwise, Sea of Thieves was the game I bought before that. Like, I knew that was coming, and I was really excited about it. So I either kind of know the things that I'm looking forward to, and then there's some middle of the road stuff that, you know, if my friends are playing it, sure, yeah, you can coax me into it. But generally, I'm not really surprised.
By the way, quick question. This is really more for me. Do you have to have bought the game? Because the games I mentioned, I got them because of reviews and stuff.
So here's the thing, though. Are those games that you would have already bought, though?
Mass Effect I would have bought. Mass Effect, okay. No Man's Sky I would have left that alone, and Prey I would definitely would have left Prey alone, you know?
I think the key is somewhere in between, because you can't be disappointed in a game if you don't get it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be disappointed that you bought it. Like, you'd be disappointed in a game, like, you really wanted a game and you got it for Christmas, and still be disappointed. So I think the only qualifier there is that you had to have gotten the game and had it be less than you thought. So yeah, your review copies qualify, I'd say, just as much as a birthday present does.
True enough. And again, I was like, when I saw everything that was going on with Prey, I'm like, this is going to be really cool. Then I get, I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, so I could say I was disappointed. And Mass Effect, obviously, I would have bought Mass Effect just because of the history of the franchise. And No Man's Sky, I got that. No, I think I bought that, but I mostly bought it for work. You know what for I mean? So I could talk about it.
The conversation.
Because Manny, at that last, my spider sense is really fucking good. That last week, that shit started going off, you know? Mm-hmm.
I had that thing from the beginning. From like, this doesn't sound right. Something's up here.
Like, in my gaming history, like, when I started buying games myself, very few games, I could probably name them on one hand, that I bought that was like, what the fuck is this shit? I'm very good about that sort of stuff, you know?
Here's the thing.
We rented back in the day, too.
Back in the day, yeah. Even renting, you know, whatever. If it sucks, it sucks. You $5, you know? You don't care.
Here's the thing. When you go against that feeling that you have, you are usually going to, you're setting yourself up for failure.
I got two for you right now, man. Oh my God, I'm forgetting the name. It was like London GTA for PS2.
The Getaway.
Fucking sucked. But I bought it anyway. I'm like, I need a GTA game because I was so obsessed with GTA. And then I bought, what's the name of that shit? Stuntman. Fucking sucked. I'm like, yo, this is going to be crazy. Sucked.
Shadow of Mordor, or Shadow of War, did that to me.
Yeah, the same, man.
I was like, I have a bad feeling, but the first one was so good. Even if it's just more of the same, how could it be disappointing? And then I played it, and I was like, I don't really know how to describe it, but it is.
Yeah, that's the thing too about it. It's like, you're disappointed, but you don't know how to describe why you're disappointed. Because mechanically, it has everything you liked from the first game. It just doesn't. I don't know something about it, man.
I feel like, I mean, to be honest, I feel like the Shadow of War, or Shadow of Mordor, is kind of like a one shot deal.
I think Manny, I'm going to jump on. Sorry about that. I think Shadow of War is this generation's version of Spider-Man 2. I'm going to explain why. Spider-Man 2 was just an okay game, but it had that one mechanic that was so fucking good, it made it just like transcendent. Shadow of Mordor was that. It was just a generic open world game, but that Nemesis system was so crazy, it made it seem like revolutionary. I think with the sequel, that Nemesis system was no longer like, you know, it wasn't unique. It wasn't special anymore. So it's like, whatever. If you take away the one thing that makes it special, then it's, what do you get? A generic open world game.
Yeah. And that's, and to be honest, that's exactly what I saw when I first saw that game. Everybody's talking about this one mechanic in the game, which I'm like, all right, whatever. It remembers what you do. But other than that, it's essentially Assassin's Creed meets
Batman.
Assassin's Creed meets Batman with a Lord of the Rings skin on top of it, and that's
everybody was playing Assassin's Creed and Batman at the time, so that wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah,
I saw that's what I saw, and I didn't want to play another one because I feel like also with Assassin's, which I've stopped playing, and Batman's ended, I've kind of already had that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, and that's why, like, the first time, well, I was seeing more specifically the first one. When the first one came out, you're like, oh, it's pretty much just Assassin's Creed with this cool Nemesis system. You're like, well, I like Assassin's Creed. All right. And it was good. And then the second time, it was all old news. And they're like, yeah, here's the same thing. I don't know. The Nemesis system was somehow broken in the second game, too. I can't tell you how, but it was not as fulfilling.
Yeah. There was, again, something about it that's hard to put down.
It was trying to push you toward microtransactions.
Yeah, that was stupid.
It screwed the whole system over.
Even they admitted it, that they fucked up. They admitted it.
If you can buy all the good orcs online, then who the fuck needs to play the damn thing anymore? Yeah.
And they also gave you, like, story-based nemesis is like that. The whole point is that you make your own nemesis list. You know what I mean? It's nemesis, I guess. Anyway, Brian, are you back now?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Right.
Cool. Disappointing games for you for this generation.
Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Oh. Tony, wouldn't that be you too?
Yes, but Need for Speed Payback as well. Those games were just ridiculous. I don't understand what happened. They need to sort the games out. Gran Turismo Sport. It came out in a really bad state. They fixed it over time, but it just came out in a really dumb state. Like, there was no offline play, there's like less cars. It's like, it kind of felt like what Capcom did with Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, in that it was just released far too soon with not enough content and to a specific audience. And Brian, I think that hurts it. Hello?
Oh, I was just going to say, Brian mentioned a couple of other ones. Fucking Capcom with MV.
Street Fighter and Infinite. God, how could I forget? Could I forget? Oh, my motherfucking God. Yeah, you're right about that. Toss them in a pyre, you know? Fuck, man. Yeah, that especially Street Fighter.
Street Fighter thing, 5,
I'm going to be honest, man. With Marvel's Capcom Infinite, I already kind of knew it was going to be, man. You know, so I wasn't that disappointed. But Street Fighter 5, I thought it was going to be the shit. And yes, mechanically, it's fucking amazing. But it was like they had nothing in the game, you know? Yeah. Oh. I think that with that game, it was like so disappointing. I just keep forgetting that it was disappointing, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm like trying to like save myself the trauma. Man. Fucking it up, Platano. That's right, man. All right, Adam. Disappointing games.
Well, you already said Mass Effect. I knew that one. That was on my list. But the one that really got me disappointed was Gears of War 4.
Gears of War 4 was all right, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's not what I was expecting from a studio that was just dedicated to it. You know, they're like, this is it. It's going to be badass. And, the story was okay, but it wasn't epic. You know what I mean?
Like, no politics. Oh.
You know?
It just wasn't, it didn't have that feel, like that big brawl feel. That was like that's what I loved about the other ones. You know, it's like you felt like you were in a big ass battle and you were badass with the chainsaw. This one didn't. I didn't have that feeling.
Yeah, it was more isolated.
You know, and then it was a lot of fucking robots. Holy
yo,
shit.
Robot after robot. And then Carlos and I said this is a lot of the parts in the game felt like they were just like horde mode. You know what I mean?
They started integrating horde mode. And then it was just like, oh, clear this area, robots. Okay, now little cutscene. Now clear this area, robots.
Yeah, man.
At night, there's some lightning. That's kind of cool. But guess what? We got more robots. Clear these robots. I'm like, oh, man.
What would save the game for me, even though I still think it's okay, what really saved the game for me was the ending boss. I'm like, oh, this is fucking crazy.
That was quick, though, I guess. Man,
I needed more.
But he wasn't that hard.
He wasn't hard. But I just like the fact that you're in a giant robot fighting a giant monster. That's fucking cool. But you're right about that, man.
It just didn't hit that spot. And I was like,
By the way, Mighty Nerd, I disagree. Street Fighter 5 was not just Street Fighter 4, a different name. It played better than Street Fighter 4. Played a lot better than Street Fighter 4. But it just didn't have anything at launch. Like, now, if they would have launched Street Fighter 5 as it is today, I would have been happier than a motherfucker. But unfortunately, it isn't. You know?
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's move on here. What the fuck? Okay. Robert Figartner. So his first question is, with Shenmue 1 and 2 being remastered for current gen, will you guys play in English or in Japanese? I feel Yakuza, for example, is even more immersive because of the Japanese dialogue versus a game like Sleeping Dogs that's in English. Do you guys feel the native language of where a game takes place adds to the immersion?
Hell yeah. I, you know, it's funny. I actually I actually will play it in Japanese because, I mean, as much as I have with the original, you know, but even then, me and Tony thought we thought that the fucking voice acting was pretty lousy.
It was pretty lousy. But I'm gonna keep it real. Shenmue 1, I'm gonna play it English because it's the corniness. Shenmue 2 never had an English translation that I am aware of. So
actually, it did. No,
but the corniness of Shenmue, I'm glad you said that because I was like, yeah. I'm gonna play it in English because that kind of corny kung fu movie dialogue.
It's kind of important in a weird way.
I will go down to the dock.
Hold on. Here's the thing. Before you go on, Manny, did Shenmue 2 have? Because I play. Here's the thing. I'm gonna be honest. I said this on the co-op. I played Shenmue 2. It was a bootleg from Hong Kong because they, you know, it didn't come out in America on Dreamcast. So I played that in Japanese. So I'm gonna play that one in Japanese the way I remember it. But no, did they ever make an English one?
There is an English one. It came out for Xbox. Remember?
Oh, okay. That's right. I never played on Xbox. I played on Dreamcast, but it was like a bootleg. Because remember, Dreamcast games were easy to copy and stuff, and no region lock. So I played it on. Yeah, I played the Hong Kong one, but with English subtitles. But no, I Brett, I'm glad you said that. That corniness is little important to Shenmue, so I'm gonna play it with the English, you know, just because it's silly.
I want to play it in Japanese just because I haven't heard it in that way. I played the original so many times that I knew everything, so I want it to kind of be a somewhat new experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was my thingy too. But it's like, oh man, you gotta listen to it. But if I play it twice, I'll definitely play with Japanese. But the second one, I will play in Japanese. I never played with the English one. Don't really care. I heard didn't they change the voice actors in the second one too?
No, Ryo's still the same.
Yeah. All right. So and Carlos already gave his answer.
My only thing is that I saw that trailer and. It's cool to see all this stuff, but man, I hope they get better, like, you know, better quality, the voices in that game, because they sound like all tinny and shit in that trailer. They all like, I want to find the trailer. I'm like, wait, no, yo, get the fresh takes on those.
Like, yo, man, remaster the sound too, motherfuckers. Yeah. Okay, Carlos gave his answer. Chris, what about you?
What with Shenmue?
Yeah, English or Japanese?
Oh, I play it with the English. I mean, I played that corny shit on Dreamcast. I'd rather play it like that too. I don't know. As I get older, I'm less and less tolerant of subtitles.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man.
Yeah, so that first playthrough, I'm just gonna sit there, you know, like that. And I played it in English originally, so that's how I'm gonna play it.
All right, Brett, you already said English, right?
Yep.
All right, Adam.
Yeah, I'll just do the English. It's like I liked when we played Yakuza. I liked the fact that it's in Japanese and that whole thing. But it's just sometimes, especially if it's fast paced and it's action, I'm trying to watch and read at the same time, and I'm like, I'm all over the place. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably just play it in English just to enjoy the experience.
I'm looking for sailors.
Yeah, and Brian, this will be your first time playing Shenmue, period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, how will you play it?
I will try it out with the English first, see how well the voice acting is. If it's not that great, then I'll hop over to Japanese and see if that's better or worse. And then I'll just see. Again, I have no expectation, so I'll just see which one I like more.
All right, fair enough. And the next question is, with E3 approach, what happened?
Wait, we didn't actually answer the question.
Yeah, we did.
The immersion part of it?
No, the question was English or Japanese.
Oh,
okay. That was legit the question.
Okay, you sorry.
Know? Actually, no, I'm an idiot. He goes, do you feel playing a game set in another country in its native language makes it more immersive?
And that's where I said, hell yeah.
It depends. Again, you know, like Yakuza, I like it in Japanese. That's fine. I don't know because I don't really play that many games. Like I know somebody in the comments said that they're playing Metro in Russian. Okay,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but no, generally, you know, the thing is, it's a weird thing. I'm generally not a subtitle guy, but the thing is with video games, since there's so much reading anyway, kind of doesn't matter, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it doesn't really matter to me if it's in a game or not, because it's like, even if it's all Japanese, I'm going to be reading all this shit anyway, you know, like in an RPG and stuff, you know.
I kind of flip flop between them because I feel like, you know, especially when you had kind of really bad like voiceovers, you know, like, you know, localization in the States, I would probably prefer to listen to the Japanese, but even if the acting is bad in Japanese, you couldn't probably tell. The only time it ever affects immersion is when the voice acting is bad
for me. Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I agree.
Japanese, like, for example, they keep the Japanese names, and it's like, hi, Mr. Sakamoto.
Oh, yeah, they don't explain to them the proper way to say Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Sakimoto?
Like Sakimoto. Kaneda?
Or they're like, Kansaki-kun.
God. All right. Anybody else want to jump into this and make it immersive? Yes, no, maybe something?
Not for me. But
yeah, I don't really care, to be honest. With a video game, again, very different game. You got to read a bunch of shit anyway, you know? All right, and the next question is, with E3 approaching soon, what are your favorite game show game reveals? Mine of recent memory was The Last of Us 2. Seeing that Firefly symbol was fucking badass. So he's talking about, what are your favorite game reveals from any convention? Because obviously, The Last of Us 2 was announced at PSX.
Oh.
I got one. When they revealed that one Zelda game and the fanboy started crying, that shit was hilarious.
or when they revealed that screen, that logo for Agent, and people said it's going to be Game of the Year.
Yeah, here's another one: Final Fantasy 13 on Xbox. Remember that shit? These motherfuckers flipped.
Big reveals that I thought were
or memorable ones that you're like, oh yeah, that was really good. That was a good reveal.
Didn't Kojima show up at like a Microsoft conference?
Yeah, that was a big one. Yeah,
when he showed up he did it multiple times, to be honest.
But the first time he did it, it was kind of a big deal.
He did it for Metal Gear 2 for the subsistence version of Metal Gear. I think he showed up on there.
Hmm.
But if you mean Metal Gear Solid 5, officially the Microsoft show was the first time you actually did see, you know, the full-on Phantom Pain stuff. Instead of that goofy bait and switch shit that they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, at the Game Awards.
Remember the FF7 remake announcement? Everybody lost their fucking minds.
Oh yeah. Well, remember when the
and Shenmue
or the announcement of the Shenmue 3, right?
Yeah. And what was the other one? It was 3 and re-announcement of Shadow Last Guardian.
Yeah.
The re-announcement.
Like, that's when I made my statement where it's like, you can have 3 fucking megatons for the same game.
Yeah, right? Pretty much. All right, Chris, favorite game announcements, moments?
I'd say God of War, because I thought how they built up to that was...
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, with the orchestra. Shit. Yeah, that was crazy. Orchestra.
That one. I think what else was hyped for?
Milo.
Milo might be the creepiest thing I ever fucking seen.
Yo, man.
Like, what creeped you out at E3? It's like, that bull. And then the little girl playing with the tiger Skittles? On the screen. I'm like,
Skittles.
It's like, Skittles isn't real. Stop it.
Oh man.
We'll come back around to it. I gotta think, because I the first thing I jumped to is like when I heard that orchestra music, I'm like, oh shit, is this God of War? Oh my god.
Oh. It was crazy right now. All right, Adam, favorite game reveal moments from conventions?
Shit, I gotta have to say I have like 3, but I mean, 2 of them are Grand Theft Auto. One was Grand Theft Auto 4 when they showed off New York, that it was Liberty City was New York, and that you could roam all around those spots. I was like, oh, this is gonna be amazing. And then 5, when they showed that it was more than just one player, that you were going to be jumping in and out, because a lot of people didn't know. They're like, oh, maybe at some point. No, it's in like whenever you feel like it, you could just jump into another guy. That was awesome. So those are my 2 big ones.
I'm surprised you didn't say Gears of War.
Gears of War 2. That was the first one. That was the one when you can take out the chainsaw and flip it upside down. Because remember, when Gears 1, there was some hype, but that's just the Unreal Tournament, guys. You know what I mean? They're taking people from Unreal Tournament and making a game around them. So I'm like, all right, I know these characters. All right, we'll see. But when they had the roadie run and that chainsaw and all that stuff, that was like, wow, mind blown. And then you get part two. And in part two, you can come up from behind them, flip the chainsaw upside down, and rip them up. You know, that was pretty cool. You know, and they had with the co-op where you can get all your buddies in. So, yeah, but that was a big reveal. But the one that really stands out, if I close my eyes and think about it, was the one for GTA 4 when they showed it. I remember that cinematic, la 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 la, you know, and the music, and they showed the Staten Island Ferry Terminal, and then they started showing all the other spots, and then they zoomed in on Nico, and he gets in a cab, and in fact, they could show the whole city. And I was like, yeah, you're not just playing in Manhattan. You're playing in this, and all they gave their fake names for the outer boroughs, and that was awesome. I'm like, shit, this is entirely the city. I can roam wherever
I want. Which E3 was that? I don't, because, you know, Rockstar doesn't really show off shit like that.
No, it was just one of their announcements. I thought it was all about which big announcement.
No, it was an announcement at an event. That's the question.
They were doing it through their website as an event.
Oh, I don't know if that, it has to be an actual event though. You know,
actual event. Then I'll just go with Gears because Rockstar doesn't really. Gears did it when Cliffy came out, and he said, "Yeah, we got something new." And he came out with the big ass chainsaw gun with the Lancer.
Yeah. By the way, quick shout out to Jay.
That one time he posed with a gun.
By the way, quick shout out to Jay Fonzarelli for the super chat.
Thank you, Mr. Fonzarelli.
He says, I don't always get to listen live, but I always enjoy the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right. Brett, favorite game show reveal moans?
Fallout 4.
Okay.
I don't really have many because, you know, doing what we do, we're kind of, you know, we've pretty well hedged our bets and have a good idea of what's going on.
But what about from back in the day? What about from back in the day and stuff? You know, like 2005 or whatever, when they actually started showing E3s like on TV and shit.
Oh man.
You know what I think of, and it wasn't a good thing. The Killzone 2 trailer.
Oh shit! That's
right. I was yelling about that for years. It's like, was that shit real? That's bullshit.
Oh, everybody called shenanigans that first week.
Black Flag. Like when they actually announced Black Flag, it was one of those like, holy shit, game is going to exist. Like there's no way. There's no way this game can be what I think that it is.
Yeah, I remember that was a good one. Fallout 4 was a good one too. People like that choice, Brad. There you go. Yeah.
You know,
especially because they're not. It was a double whammy. They're Fallout 4, and you're like, oh shit, they have been making Fallout 4. Like I can't believe they've managed to keep this shit under wraps. They're like in about 3 or 4 months, and you're like, wait, what the fuck, really?
Yeah, that was a good conference.
Yeah, that was overall, good.
Because we saw Doom also. I was hyped.
So yeah, that was a good moment. Doom was announced? Shit.
Yeah, that was that one Bethesda thing. And then every single previous
after that, just
nothing.
Yeah, it's been stinkers.
Man. I'd say like one of the best conferences I remember in the past was the Sony conference where they had Kevin Butler come out.
Because
he was really good, and that was the year that Gabe Newell came out, and everybody like, look at this motherfucker.
Yeah, right. Like, look at this hater, man.
Yeah. The same,
yeah, not particularly game reveals, but good moments. But you know, my favorite one will always be that one Konami conference, man, with Tak Fuji and shit. 1 million troops.
He's like, all right.
Hit the giant enemy crap. It's like, yo, that shit. No, I was in Konami, but that was like one Sony one.
That was
one.
A Sony one, yeah.
Man, anyway, the game reveals. Brian, what was your favorite game reveal for any of these events?
I'd have to go with God of War, but not the same one that Chris is talking about. I'm talking about God of War 3.
Ah,
like,
yes.
When I seen like Chris like running through like the forest, I was like, okay, I'm losing my mind. And then like he starts like beating up like all the crap. I'm just like, okay, God of War game. And then zooms out and he's on Gaia. I'm like, wait, what? How is this even possible? I was like, nah, it's probably just like a cinematic and whatnot. And then the gameplay comes out and it's like, nope, that's real. I'm like, this game is amazing.
That intro part, that intro,
that shit was crazy. That shit was crazy.
It's just a nut. It's just crazy because it's just like, it took like that big moment from all the previous games where it was like you fight this big monster and that's the tutorial, right?
I want to add Phantom Pain to that because that was a reveal. I remember that. That was pretty cool too. That the whole hospital scene.
The hospital thing where they
That was good. Oh, you know what? Metal Gear Solid 4, man. That whole reveal was insane. Mm-hmm. You know? War has
changed.
That was fucking nuts. And that was running at 60 frames too. That was a lot.
Oh, you mean the first person
thing? Yeah, man.
Yeah, that first person thing where they essentially thought it was like you're just seeing a trailer for some first person game. Then it flips around and then you see it's Snake that beats the shit out of the first person guy.
That was amazing, man. That was fucking nuts. All right. Good question. I like that one. So the next one will be I'm going to throw the. Oh, he also goes, your God of War discussion was awesome. Can't wait till 420. Yeah, man. Get hype. All right. I threw this one up to the... I moved it up the queue. Mui00. His question is, what do you think the price points will be next on next-gen games? Do you think they're going to stick with $60? Yes, I think they're going to stick with $60.
I think they're going to stay with $60.
They're not going to raise that shit. They're going to stick at $60. They're just going to give you more DLCs and shit. You know? We already pay more than $60 for games if you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question, Mr. Dipdop Dupity. So his first one is, this one's for me, apparently. Tony, can you rank these five games? And for the rest of you guys, it's going to be rank four of these games. Bloodborne, Uncharted 4, Horizon, Persona 5, and God of War. So I need to rank these. Then you guys go. You know, you guys could rank these minus God of War, obviously.
Wait, God of War? You can't answer that, can you? Oh wait,
I can. I can totally answer that.
Oh yeah, because the review's out.
They said Horizon, Persona 5.
Bloodborne, Uncharted, Horizon, Persona 5, and God of War. And I'm just saying, just so you don't have Dead Space here.
Dead Space isn't in this.
You know, shit, that's a tough one.
Didn't you already crown God of War as like the king of this generation?
Yeah,
so far?
I did. So let's just do it.
Generation, he said.
Let's just do it already. Yeah. God of War, generation so far. We've Red Dead's coming later on. All right.
I knew it. So I'm like,
Brian, you already know, man. Okay.
And Spider-Man.
So, yeah, Spider-Man. All right. God of War number one. I'm going to go with Persona 5 number two. Horizon Zero Dawn number three, Uncharted 4 number four, and Bloodborne number five. So there
really?
You go.
Bloodborne number five.
Yeah, because I like the other ones more. Okay, so there you go. So what do you guys? What's your ranking? Bloodborne, Uncharted 4, and Horizon, and Persona 5.
It's tough for me. I didn't play Persona 5.
Yeah, I guess if you've played all the four of those games, if you haven't, then don't bother. I guess.
Yeah.
Number four, Bloodborne. Number three, Uncharted 4, number two, Horizon, number one, Persona 5.
All right. And I think that's it. Because, you know, some of us haven't played all of these.
No, I mean, I think I've only played two.
Well, yeah, you've played two of those.
So, yeah, I would put Bloodborne over Uncharted.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to the next question. This is going to be an interesting one because we can't fully answer this or answer it at all. Which of these two is better, Persona 5 or Xenoblade Chronicles, and which aspects for each were better than the other? I've never played any Xenoblade games, so I have no idea, and I don't think anybody else on this panel has played Xenoblade either.
We would need a Switch, wouldn't we? Or a
should we
well,
do
you
that?
Need to have bought it.
Are we gonna get is what's his face? That what's the name of that dude that got mad at us for switching a question around? Is he gonna get mad if we switch a question around?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, here's the thing. Like, yeah, we probably couldn't answer that sort of question.
Yeah, we
my
can't.
Let's just Persona 5 because I haven't played the other one.
You know what? Fuck it. That's my answer too. Then it's better because I played.
I haven't played either, so I'm just gonna say Final Fantasy 7.
Oh, Swedish gamer dad, what's going on, brother? Yeah, okay. And then the next question, which is also similar, this is from Master Chief. which game is better, Wolfenstein or Doom? And to make this fun, I'm going to answer for both of them. Original Wolfenstein versus original Doom. And by Wolfenstein, I mean Wolfenstein 3D, not the text-based adventure. Doom. And then for the new ones, Doom or Wolfenstein, also Doom. So Doom for both of them. Manny.
I mean, for original, I haven't played the new incarnations of them, but as I'm going to base the original ones, I've played both of them. I would put Wolfenstein first and put Doom second. For interest, I would actually say I would be more interested in the new Doom game than the new Wolfenstein game. Though the new Wolfenstein game does have an interesting, you know, fun, you know, kooky story.
Yeah, they got Nazis in it. Chris, what about you? Doom or Wolfenstein?
Oh, Doom for sure. I mean, I liked the original Wolfenstein, but Doom was like life changing, man.
Yeah, man. That shit. Can I just quickly say this? Doom 1 was my favorite FPS game for a long time, and the FPS game that overtook it was the new Doom. So that lets you know right there, this shit is real, you know?
Yeah. No, I love Doom, man. Like it was fantastic. Like only now like Wolfenstein like comes back, and like it was in between this, like before Bethesda Bethesda did them, but those early 2000 Wolfenstein games, they sucked.
Yeah.
You know, only till you got to now.
Like, didn't they have like some games that some Wolfenstein games that were made by Raven Software, and those were like meh?
Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah. By the way, I guess I should add that caveat, because nowadays it's a zero sum game. Either it's shit or it's the most awesome thing. The new Wolfenstein, the first one, I haven't played the second one yet, is fucking awesome. Right? Yeah, I just want to get that out there. Wolfenstein is fucking awesome, but I still like Doom more because Doom has fucking monsters and shit. But the Wolfenstein is really good. Just got to get that out, because people go, yo, Tony, you said that game sucked. Right? And Wolfenstein is dope, and I plan to play the second one. But that first Wolfenstein was really good, but Doom, you can't fuck with that. You know? All right, Carlos.
Doom. It's just, right? To me, it's just more fun.
It's fucking better.
It's like Wolfenstein, but better.
It looks like, here's the thing, it looks more fun. Like it definitely tried to personify that kind of frantic pace that the original game kind of had, and as well as, you know, bringing its own thing.
Yeah, man.
You know, with those one hit monster kills where you just rip things in half and kick them off. This is Sparta, kick them across the room.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Wolfenstein, but there's some parts in that game. It's like, yo, this is fucking heavy right now, because they get into some real shit. You know, Doom doesn't have any of this. They just murder everything in front of you. Fucking beautiful, man. All right, Brian.
I've not played either of them, but just by looking at what they present, I say Doom. It's just of a more game. It's like, hey, you know what? Just turn your brain off, shoot some demons.
Yeah, that's and it doesn't. The thing is about Doom doesn't need to be anything more than that, right?
That was the greatest thing. Brian said it's a game. Yeah, pretty. It's a game.
It doesn't. Do we really need to know why exactly we're shooting the shit out of everything? Not really. They're demons. They're evil. Kill them all, right? Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The game has a story, but it always tells you a story while you're killing shit. You know, it never stops you.
Well, they actually said that they pulled a bunch of story stuff out of it and just let you, if you decide to search these things out, then you could find out about it.
Yeah, those things narrated by that demon voice.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Like, he's such a legend in hell. They're afraid of him.
Yes. But even,
how epic this man is.
Think about how you even get those narrations. You have to punch something to hear it. It's fucking awesome. You know? Oh, Doom's so good, man. When it hits the lips, it's so good. I think Brett needs a little bit of a break here. So, Adam, which one? Doom or Wolfenstein? Either one, by the way. The old ones and the new ones.
You know, I've beaten all of those Wolfensteins, even the new one.
Mm-hmm.
So I played the new Doom. I liked it, but it didn't really immerse me. Like, and I guess it's the story and the kookiness. Even though Doom is kind of kooky, this the Wolfenstein has a little more with the story. And
Doom
the
is fucking. I'm just being real. It's fucking metal. The whole game is metal.
Pretty metal. it is
metal as shit. Even the soundtrack is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it also like the same in Wolfenstein though. A lot of metal going on in that.
Yeah, Wolfenstein is really good though. Bethesda, you did a good job bringing those two games back.
Kind of one thing about the Doom game, it does feel a little bit Quake at the same time as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
Again, that frantic pace that Quake kind of had.
Dude, the multiplayer in that is straight up Quake. Multiplayer in that Doom is straight up Quake. You know. Oh, it's so good. Brett, are you back yet, man? I don't know if he's back or not, because we're about to end the show. Oh, man. Oh, well. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for us. By the way, when we redid the intro, did I also do the shout-outs? I don't think I did.
Yes, you did.
I did the shout outs again?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll leave that alone. But anyway, just in case.
I think you did the shout outs only once, and there was a second time.
Oh, I thought I did it the first time. But okay.
I thought you did it the first time as well.
And well, you can do them right now.
Just doesn't hurt to give more shout out. Okay, so again, I want to give a shout out to the RGT podcast with my man Ryan the Professional, who I believe was in the chat earlier. Had a lot of fun with them on Friday. I also want to give a shout out to Richard, Gary, Dana, and you know, Max and JJ. I was on the co-op with them. We were talking about God of War and various things. And both of those episodes you could check out on the playlist Throwdown Crossover. They're up there right now. Please check them out. I had a lot of fun. And also want to give a shout out to our boy Cicero Holmes from Spawn on Me for making that, you know, impromptu appearance on Throwdown. Always good to have that guy on. Fucking love that guy. So it's gonna be good to see him on you know,
E3
again
this year. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the whole, you know, seeing all the pretty much the whole gang, man. Yo, Chris, do it. Come on, man, bring the band back together.
Yeah, man, we'll talk afterwards. But Chris, I talked to you before. You know, there's a chance, brother. So if you have the money, please, that'd be great. I also, just for the fuck of it, I want to give a huge shout out. Actually, no, not for fucking. I need to do this. I need to give a shout out to my man Reggie Butler, Weapon X. He is sending a figure to our contest winner, Mr. Sergio. You know, so that's going to be fun. Also, shout out to Sergio, too, for winning the contest, you know.
Yeah.
And shout out to the fans, because this episode, I mean, the last episode of Throwdown, we haven't seen these numbers in a while. We're almost going to hit 500 views. We haven't seen that in a year almost.
It has been a long time.
Ever since that fucking bullshit that YouTube pulled, very hard for us to even get 300, because we used to get 500 like nothing.
Nothing.
You know?
But, you know, I mean, it just means that we need to probably give them a little bit more incentives and stuff like that, and give them a little more things back to you guys. I know sometimes we forget, but yeah, definitely, you know, we have some really cool stuff coming in the future. So just stay tuned for those things.
Yeah, man. All right. Yeah, shout out to everybody in the chat, obviously, you know. All right, so, well, I always forget. I got to put the little schedule thing here. Bam, there you go. All right, so thank you for watching and listening. Leave us your questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on The Coalition, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and Tyler joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seely.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brian Mungioma.
Go watch Devilman Crybaby. It's actually really good.
And Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
All right, and Brett, you know, deuces.
Deuce. Later, part people.
Yeah, all right, guys. Later, man.